Give me a reason. Give me a reason to climb a mountain and walk for kilometer after kilometer carrying a heavy pack. Well, Sarah Swainson of Bold Heart Initiative and a very special guest, Nicola Ramsden, who carried packs and walked with her for 60-odd kilometers over mountaintops. They are in the studio. They have arrived.
Good looking, morning.
Looking marvelous.
Better than we looked when we came off the mountain, I can say that much.
So this is an extraordinary thing you've done. I know a lot of people are very interested. They've been following your social media with interest. And I got a call last night to say, you're interviewing Sarah about that crossing the divide kind of thing. Can't wait to hear. So this is, well, I can't wait to hear as well. Why did you go and climb the Drakensberg Mountain and then walk on the top of them for miles and miles, for days on end?
The backstory is that we've got a group of friends, and a number of them were approaching a big birthday. I won't say which one, but it was big. So they wanted to do something that was really epic. So to celebrate this big birthday. And so we came up with this plan that we would go off as a group of friends to go and do what's called the Grand Traverse, which traverses from Witsie's Hook. You start at the Sentinel car park, and then you traverse the whole of the berg, and eventually you come down at Bushman's Neck.
Is there a path along the whole of the top of the mountain?
No.
So
no
you
path.
Just walk following...
We had a guide. We had a guide, and that's the first thing that I will say about taking on a big challenge like this is gather the resource, get a guide that's going to show you the way, because otherwise you could miss some of the most spectacular views. And the Grand Traverse has a number of, so there's no fixed route, so you can take any route. When you're doing the actual challenge, you are meant to hit certain peaks. But we decided we wanted to just see the most scenic, epic route. So we took most probably a bit of a longer route along the escarpment. And I can tell you, it was worth every sacrifice, every hour. I mean, this is 2 years in the making to get this trip to go up to the Drakensberg and do this. Yeah.
What took the time?
You've got to get prepared. So you've got to get all the gear. So there's a financial cost as well.
What gear do you need?
So you need good shoes. And actually figuring out hiking boots is actually quite a harder thing. Packs, tents, because you're carrying everything yourself. So you need to get all of that kind of thing. And then finding the right partner guide. We went with guys up in Joburg called Mountain Abandon. They're excellent and really, really, really knowledgeable about the berg. They read the group well. And I think that's so important as well. So it was pulling on their knowledge. And then you've got to get physically fit. Remember, you're carrying a pack that's over close to 20 kilograms. I mean, I stood in the car park and I had this pack on my back and I was going, oh my goodness, I'm feeling like a little bit panicky. Yeah, I've got to trudge up this mountain. So it's quite physical. So you've got to get out there. You've got to be walking with your pack, climbing stairs, all those kind of things.
So your pack consists of your food and water.
Yeah.
Your clothing.
Minimal clothing.
Your tent.
Yes.
A one-man tent.
We shared, so there were two.
So who carried the tent?
Well, I was on my own, actually, so I carried... Well, that's a bit of a lie.
I was going to say,
you didn't carry tent. I got upgraded, and actually our guide carried my tent, but then I landed up carrying somebody else's tent. It was a bit of a group work effort, yeah.
Okay, so the weight is in the tent and the sleeping bag.
Yeah. Your food, actually.
And the food and the water.
So you've got to carry a jet boiler. So we'd split it between the pair.
Yeah.
One would carry the tent, one would carry the jet boiler and kind of bits and bobs, medical kit, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But your bulk of it is the food. I mean, the food was almost 4 kgs to start.
Yeah.
So of your pack.
So it gets lighter as you go.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like it though, at all.
No. But it technically does. But the one fortuitous thing that we had is there's lots of water in the berg at the moment. And so we didn't have to carry that much water. I mean... So we would carry what we needed and could stop along the way. So we were very fortunate.
And did you take tablets to purify the water?
No.
Okay. Well, that was good.
Most of it's the source, so you hope it's clean.
Surely, and of course that's one of the joys I would imagine of being up on the top of the berg is that you have water the way nature intended.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah.
So apart from the physical demands, there must have been some pretty tough mental demands as well.
Yes, you've got to really, and also bearing in mind your actions impact other people as well. So you can't go and have a bit of a sit down and have a moment, and you really are working as a team. So how you pitch up is going to impact the rest of the team, and your commitment to getting to the point is also an impact.
And it's, I presume, also important to choose the right people, because
yes.
You don't want to be walking with strangers in that kind of environment where someone could have a meltdown, and that would ruin the entire experience.
Absolutely.
And so I think, how did you choose your team? I know that you say it was a special occasion, but
yeah, we're a good group of friends. I think the one thing is that we even our guide Pierre commented is how we worked as a team. So one of our friends wasn't feeling that great, and she was taking a bit of strain, and so we just took her weight. Divided some of the weight, so she had a lighter pack. And I think that's how the approach to this is, you are going up and you have to be really committed to the people that are going with you. And there's no point, there's no individual up there. It really is that you're moving as a unit and a team, like, and checking in with one another. And I think Nicola was one of the instigators, really just checking in with everybody. Yeah. Are you okay? Are you eating? Have you had enough to drink? All those kind of things.
I think the teamwork is key. You know, there's day one, you have to climb climb chain ladders to get up to the plateau.
With a 20
kilogram pack. And literally it's a chain ladder, like, I don't know, 30 centimeters wide. And if you let go, you let go. And if you're scared of heights, it's like quite all consuming. So to be able to go, okay, fine, I know you really, in some cases, petrified. I'm not. But how do we get you up the chain ladder as a team? Because it's not just about you getting to the top, it's about us all getting to the top. So from day one, you realize really quick that it doesn't matter who's feeling what. As the team, you need to start moving forward and getting forward. Day one was very misty, so you don't really see much. So you're not like in awe.
Yeah, we missed
the amphitheater. And it becomes a bit grueling, you know, like just trudging forward in the mist, not seeing anything. So how do you make it still the experience the team wants it to have, especially when it's on day one? That's quite a hard one.
And then you're setting up camp, and you're still getting used to everything. Like, where does your sleeping bag? I mean, there's literally no space in those tents. So, like, literally, you move and your tent mate will, you know, so you've got to be really careful about how you pack your tent. There is just, you are really going back to basics.
Now, technology must help tremendously, because I have seen some wonders coming across from our friends at Outdoor Warehouse, where they arrive once a week with a bucket load of important bits and pieces and innovation. And amazingly, tiny little sleeping bags and tents and you can almost put in your pocket. So presumably technology has made it more accessible, but you're still carrying 20 kilograms, end of the story. Is there a way of doing it lighter?
We were lean. I mean, I think we could have, I think you're going to land up being, I don't think we could have gone that much
longer. So this is definitely not something for the uninitiated.
No, but there are steps. So this is really like saying, guys, you can, don't be scared to take on big things. This was a big, big challenge, but you can just go up and enjoy the berg. There are day walks. You can go and get a taste. And that's what we've done. We've done, over 2 years, we've done a lot of stuff in the mountains. So it's not like we just, but there are, and it's accessible. It really is. And it's, if you choose to camp, I mean, we started off by borrowing stuff. So that's how you do it. You borrow stuff from other people, find out what works, and then it's not that expensive if you do it that way.
And how many kilometers did you cover in all?
It was just over 60.
Yeah.
The plan
That's
was a lot
hell
more.
Hell of a long way. It's to Durban.
Well, sure. We planned to do 160. Yes, and I think that's the real lesson, is that
You planned to do 160?
Yes. And that's how hard it was. Like, you're traversing. So the plan went out the window very quickly, and you just got this. And I think that's another thing, is you don't know what's going to go according to plan. You don't know how it's going to pan out, but you can really have one of the most epic adventures. The views, I just hope I never, ever, ever forget how spectacular they were.
Is this something that you might do again?
Yes.
Yes. I think some of us, not all of us necessarily.
I think we'll go and do, so we came down, so we haven't done some sections of it. So I think we'll go back and do some of the other sections, and then maybe a later date, then do the full traverse is 220 odd kilometers.
Wow.
But then you've got to be, I think, very intentional about that you how you do that. But I don't know. That's for another day.
What was the best and what was the worst thing that happened on your trip?
Nicola, do you want to go first? Or?
Sure. The views are spectacular, so it's quite difficult because you're seeing them all the time. But we went up one of the peaks, one of the six peaks that you're supposed to tag, called Cleft. And as you're busy walking, it's quite a grueling walk, you're kind of walking up the side of the mountain, you know that you get this feeling that there's something really special waiting for you. And it looks like a cleft. And as you come up over the mountain, you just get a view of, I want to say, the whole world. That's how you feel. It was just, like, I got goosebumps thinking about it. It was spectacular. But you get that aura from the mountain. You know that it's special. Mm. For me, that was my that was my highlight, for sure.
And what was your low light?
Coming off the mountain. I was very sad to come off the mountain.
Oh, really?
Wow. Mm, you know, you start walking down, the views change, and you almost, like, you feel like you're walking back into everyday life. And you're leaving behind the very special thing that's just happened. So for me, coming off the mountain was very sad.
So it's like a sacred space up
there. Oh, it's beautiful, yes.
Mm. Mm. Sounds like, I can now understand what the attraction is.
Mm.
Because the grueling thing doesn't really appeal, to the ordinary couch potato. But of course, that
but it's worth it.
Description it's of what you find at the top.
Yes. So the couch potato might be sitting here thinking, I want to go up there. We never know, but that's...
You see, one looks at these things on National Geographic, and it's spectacular, but it's still through the eye of a lens and on a little box. Can't be anything like the real McCoy.
So one of my highlights was, I think it was day five or whatever, and we'd camped in a valley, and I happened to walk up... And I said, guys, and I came down. I said, guys, we need to go eat dinner up at the top there. And we literally had our legs dangling off the escarpment with this view of just spectacular. And we watched like the sun go down, and just it really was. And you can see the photos. We're sitting like a little, and I love that it shows you how not insignificant, but it puts things in perspective. When you take a bit of a break and you go, hang on a minute. Let's get what's important and what's not.
And talking of sort of, you said let's have dinner. What was your dinner?
It was yummy.
Well, we went with dehydrated meals. So you just add water and a variety of... I wouldn't recommend the beef lasagna.
It would be like chicken and rice.
Chicken and rice.
Chicken and a king or something.
That's one thing that I would tweak if we did... another adventure would be I'd go with plainer foods, maybe with a little bit of dehydrated meals. Just you want to keep the stomach nice and settled.
So I wasn't going to go there, but now.
Oh no, you're going to go there, aren't you?
But then, how do you warm your chicken and rice up?
Carry a jet boiler, so you boil water. Okay. Anything that you can add water to, really.
Okay, interesting.
But getting back to where we were going. That's part of it. I mean, really, there are no flushing loos up there,
no.
And there's no showers either.
No.
So, is that not a?
You don't smell like roses. It's yeah.
Really?
No. So you got dug the spade, and you trundle off into where it's not going to. And I think what one thing is, our guides and we are very passionate about those mountains. So you don't. Leave them. So if you would then take care of your business without being too graphic, and you would make sure that you get...
So it's all covered and concealed.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be inconsiderate.
No, because that's a problem on Everest, apparently.
Yes, yes.
It's ruined by people
absolutely.
Just not being considerate.
So you have to be considerate. We're moving through the most spectacular space, and we want to leave it in the way that we found it.
Pristine.
And then...
Are there creatures up there? Did you see any wild animals?
So high. We saw wild horses.
And baboon and donkeys and...
Yeah.
And birds.
And birds.
Funny, like only vultures.
Oh, really?
And they're literally like eye level or below you.
Wow. So you're that high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, it sounds spectacular. I'm so envious. Is this part of your Bold Heart initiative? Are you going to be planning another?
Yeah, we will do. I think the mountains, we've left a little bit out there on the mountains.
Okay.
And so this is to say to people, you know, we are actually really fortunate. We're about 3 hours from the Berg. So if this has stirred anything in you, go and see. You can do Giant's Cup. You can do some of the lower Berg options, and you could really get out there. What was interesting at the start, there were kids. So it is a family, and you can make it a family thing as well.
That makes sense. And finally, what was your most important piece of kit? What would you say you absolutely could not do without if you're going to climb a mountain like this?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many components. So, like, it's cold. It was cold. So, like, you do need, I would say, the right gear in terms of what you're wearing. Shoes. I don't know. There's so many components. I don't think there's just one.
I think it depends on what you're doing. If you're going up for a day hike, I would say probably your shoes.
Yeah.
If you're going for an overnight hike and it's kind of the chillier seasons, you're going to want a decent tent, you know, and a sleeping bag, a warm sleeping bag. For the longer stuff, sure, there's not one thing. No. It's a
but your feet are components. You have to take care of your feet. So the shoes and your socks and making sure that you don't blister is very important. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So not the cell phone or anything like that, huh?
No, right. I switched mine off.
Six days of cell phone free bliss.
Yeah, okay, so I switched mine off.
Do you get reception on top of the mountain? Probably not.
Occasionally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you didn't actually switch yours off because you found out you had
reception. I didn't have mine on.
I caught you there. I know you've got to take the moment. Selfies. Well done, girls. What a marvelous adventure. How long did it take you?
We were out there for 6 days. Yeah.
So 10 kilometers of rugged climbing and traversing per day with 20 kilometer packs.
Yeah.
You survived. You're looking good. So I presume it's onwards and upwards from here to the next one.
Absolutely. And to say to anybody, like, don't avoid the big things. This was a big challenge, but you can take smaller steps along the way. Don't be intimidated. Get out there. If you want to do something, put the plan in place and start your journey.
And there you have it, folks. Nicola Ramsden, who's no slouch, by the way. Nicola, you run those 100-milers and things like that for fun. Good for you. I don't know why we don't all do that.
So we're going to have Nicola back in the studio chatting about the 100-miler because it's a distance that is gaining massive traction.
I cannot imagine why, but if you say so, I will accept that and be fun to be talking about it. And Sarah Swainson from Bold Heart, lovely to have you back.
Thank you.
Are we now commencing the next season of Bold Heart? Yes, so you'll be back in a week's time.
Yep.
We look forward to that hugely. And of course, it'll be up as a podcast if you've just joined us and you didn't know what we were talking about at all or why. It'll be available for you at your leisure. Thanks again for joining us on The Morning Show.
Thank you.